Reverend Paul Jordan, and I am a counselor with Biblical Restoration Ministries. The Ministries has been around for about 25 years. We're a nonprofit counseling center in Sioux City, Iowa. And Dr. Jim Logan has been here for approximately 25 years, and I've been here for 4 or 5 years working with Dr. Logan. And so just to understand, I'm a ordained minister. I've worked with counseling for about 5 years, and I have been participated in Child Evangelism Fellowship, the organization, for about 15 years now. So what we're going to look at today, and the topic for today, is how to lead children to Christ. A couple of questions we're going to answer: can children really come to Christ? Number one. Number two, how can I, as an adult, either their parent or just a close relative, how can I have the tools to lead them to Christ? And what are different ways and other tools that I can use also? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to pray before we get started. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have just to kind of share your message globally. And Father, we just ask that your Spirit would just be with us today as we look into your Word and as we look into your truth about your heart for kids and how you want all people to be saved and really to come to a knowledge of the truth. So Father, I ask that you would give me the words and that, Father, the people that are watching this would really have an open heart to listen to you. And Father, to use this to reach kids for Christ as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Child Evangelism Fellowship is the largest mission in the world. I have some statistics. They have about 1,800 missionaries, and they are in 175 countries around the world. They have 700 USA and Canada missionaries, and they approximately have 40,000 volunteers. And it all started in around 1937, a man named Jesse Overholtzer. And Jesse Overholtzer was around 12 years old when he was growing up, and he realized, well, it was actually before he was 12, when he was younger, he was really convicted of his sin. He heard a message on a Sunday service and really was convicted that he had done wrong things and he needed a Savior. And so he went to his mom and around 12, and said, "I would like to accept Christ." Well, in those days, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, you could only accept Christ when you became a man or a woman, so around 18, 17, things like that. Well, he was convicted at 10, 11, 12, and so she said, "Son, you are not ready. You're not old enough." And this just flattened every tire of Mr. Overholtzer. And so he grew up rebellious because of it. He said, "Well, if I can't get saved now, I'm just going to live the way I want to." And then later on, he got saved later in life. But then he heard a message by Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon said, "A child of 5, if properly instructed, can as truly believe and be regenerated as an adult." And that caught his attention. A child at 5 years old, if properly instructed, could believe as readily and be completely regenerated as an adult. So there were 3 girls that he knew in the church, and so he shared Christ with them, and all 3 of them accepted Christ. And they wanted to see, is this really true? You know, Charles Spurgeon, were you really telling the truth? And it wasn't but a month or 2 months later that the mom showed up at church and said, "Were you the man that led my 3 girls to Christ?" And he said, "Yes, I was." And she said, "I want to accept Christ too, because they have completely changed. They are not mean anymore. It's almost like God has changed them, and they are a new person." And that is when Mr. Overholtzer decided to start Child Evangelism Fellowship. So Child Evangelism Fellowship is an organization that just witnesses to children between the ages of 5 and 15. If you were to have a church, let's say, of 100 people, and you took a poll, according to the statistics, about 75 to 80% of the people in the church accepted Christ between 5 and 15 years old. And then past 15, it drops almost by half and then half again every time you add another 2 or 3 years after that. So Child Evangelism Fellowship is focused on the children between 5 and 15 to properly instruct them and using the Bible and using different tools to kind of help them. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. There are other ways you can share what I'm holding right now. This is called the Jesus Film for children, ages 5 to 105. So it has many different languages, Arabic, Cantonese, English, French, Hindi, Italian, Spanish, Japanese, Russian, Mandarin, Chinese. This is a really great tool also because on the back you kind of see that the whole point is for these children, and it kind of, the story is told from the perspective of these children and what they realized Jesus was and what did that mean to them. So in a way, it's the children teaching children. And they go through the crucifixion, not as graphic, but they talk about why Jesus had to die on the cross and what did that mean and how we can accept him as well. So if you're looking for something to watch, the Jesus, it's called The Story of Jesus for Children. And I'd recommend getting that. Well, if you have your Bible, that's what we're going to really look at first. Is we want to really study to see, well, can children be saved? And that's one of the important questions. So the first thing we need to look at is in Genesis. It talks about in Genesis that God created Adam and Eve, the first people that he created. Then he wanted a relationship with Adam and Eve. God didn't just create Adam and Eve and leave. He was walking and talking and had intimacy with Adam and Eve. The same thing he wants with you, the same thing he wants with me, a deep, intimate relationship. And we know there are a lot of passages. Psalms 139, it says that God knows you intimately. He knows all about you, and he loves you very much. In different passages, talks about God's love. But he has created your inward parts. He knit you together in your mother's womb. In Psalms 139, it says. And then it says that God has a plan for us in Jeremiah 29:11. Well, does that include kids? That's what we're looking at. It absolutely does. So if you have your Bible, we're going to go to Psalms 127, verse 3. I'm reading from the King James, and it says, "Lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." So here, children, another loose translation says that children are an inheritance from the Lord, that they are a reward from the fruit of the womb. So God has enabled us as humans not only to reproduce, but the children that we reproduce with. Sometimes we think we may want to return them. Sometimes we may have even thought maybe they got switched in the delivery room. But here it clearly says that children are an inheritance of the Lord. And then Psalms 128, verse 3. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children are like olive plants around about thy table." So, thy wife is like a, it says here, a fruitful vine producing olive plants around, it says, thy table. The children that you have around you, you have no idea the fruitfulness that God wants to use them for. He wants them to be really lifters of people's pain and suffering around the world, to be men and women that are going to grow up and mature and really walk with God to help lead others to Christ, to go on mission fields, and even to be missionaries. So the fruitfulness and the inheritance that God has given you is very, very special. So if you have your Bible also, let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. And Jesus said, verse actually 13 is where we'll start, "Then were brought unto him," which is Jesus, "little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray for them, and the disciples rebuked them." Now this is back in the Old Testament days. In the Old Testament days, men were viewed as being the responsible and the most important person in the family and in the community. And the lowest were the women and children. And that was just the way the culture was set up. So when the disciples were rebuking people for bringing the children, they, in a way, were saying, Jesus is too important for these children. But then Jesus shares something in verse 14. "Then Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So that word suffer, another literal translation, is allow the little children to come to me. And then he shares to all the, you can just imagine, here the disciples are with him. They've left everything to follow Jesus. You have the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, you know, the men that are studied, really studied Scripture, but yet their hearts were far from God, it says. And here Jesus is saying, bring the little children to me. I find value, I find worth in these children. And then he shares, such is the kingdom of heaven. And then it says, verse 15, he laid his hands on them and departed hence. And laid my hands on them is kind of a view of blessing, honoring, and things like that. So if we look in here, verse 14, the word little children, if you look that up in Greek, is the word paedion, which means really, little child. It means recently born, baby, infant. We usually think that they would have been 5, 6 years old, but it could have been as old as just months old. That they were bringing these babies before Jesus. Jesus was holding them, putting his hands on them, and in a way blessing them. Okay. Then let's go to Matthew 18, verse 3. And actually, we'll start in verse 1 again. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he sat him in the midst of them. And this was unheard of. You know, here they were probably predicting that, this Pharisee who's memorized the whole Old Testament, or this man here who has memorized this or done all this, he would be stood up. And yet here Jesus brought a little child who maybe knew almost nothing about spiritual truth or about biblical understanding. And then it says, verse 3, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me." So here Jesus was saying, if you receive one of these little children, what you are doing to these children, you're doing to me too. And I could just imagine this blew away the disciples and what they were thinking, what they were understanding. Jesus, you really find value in children? So much value that he said adults have to become like little children. does that mean we need to be born again? You know, that was a question that was asked. And Jesus said no. But he says here, except you humble yourself as a little child. Children are the most easy to believe. You tell them that God loves them, they don't have to think and think and process and process. They believe it. You tell them that God knows them by name, they believe it. They don't really guess about it. They don't think about it. They just believe it. And so we as adults need to become like little children, it says, to really grasp what the kingdom of heaven is really like. Okay? So what we're going to do is I'm just going to show you. This is a tool that CEF has put out. It's called a wordless book. It has no pictures. It has no words. And this is something that if you have a child evangelism fellowship office around you, you could pick up. What it does is it uses the colors to help remind me as the adult to share certain truths to the kid, to my kids, to my grandkids, to the neighborhood kids, about the truth of the gospel is really what it's about. Okay, so the first thing that I usually share is I'd like to tell you a story, and it's the greatest true story in the whole Bible. So the key is, if I'm going to tell my son, you know, son, I want to tell you a story. Then he needs to know where it came from. This story wasn't from me, it comes from the Bible. And the first thing that we need to look at is the gold page. And the gold page is gold because it reminds us of heaven. It says in Revelation that there is a street of pure gold in heaven. Okay? That you can walk on it and you can almost see your reflection in the street. That's how pure that gold is. And heaven is a wonderful place in heaven. And the reason why it's going to be so wonderful, the Bible says, is because God lives in heaven. That's his home. And this is when I explain about God. And the things you want to kind of share about God is the first thing is that he is the creator. Okay? Because oftentimes the kids are the first ones to ask you, where did I come from? They already have started to realize, maybe around the ages of 1 to 2, that they didn't just appear out of nothing. They see babies and they see little kittens born, and so then they begin to wonder, where did I come from? Where did I originate from? And then they say, well, Mom and Dad, well, where did Mom and Dad come from? And where did Grandma and Grandpa come from? And they start to wonder. There has to be someone that started it all, is what their brains are starting to process. Okay? And so the first thing you would want to share is that God created them. He created me, he created you, and then you can ask him, you know, God created the whole world. Can you tell me something God created? Trees, birds. You'll be shocked what they'll come up with. The sky. They may say houses. Well, he created the wood and the stones and the metal to make the house. He did. Okay, and this God, now we want to talk about God. He loves you very, very much. Okay, so what I usually do is I grab my Bible and I'll tell him. John 3:16, let's just go there. It says, I have loved you, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Okay, that means he loved the people of the world, not the animals and the trees, but he loves people. Okay, so then I could put their name in there. God loves not just the world, but he loves you, Jennifer. He loves you, Robert. He really loves you. And then Jeremiah 31, go there. Jeremiah 31:3, in the middle of the verse, it says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Kids would understand this more than we would. That love never stops. It goes on forever. Today, when you woke up, God loves you. When you had a good day, God loves you. When you had a bad day, God loves you. When you sinned, God still loves you. His love is ever, everlasting. Okay, so then I share with them also another thing about God is that he's holy and just, which means he's perfect in everything he does. And he is just, which means everything that God does is right. And he lives in heaven, and he wants you, he wants me, he wants everybody to come live in heaven with him. And then I share with them the problem. Okay, so the first thing is kind of understanding about God. The second thing, we have a problem. That problem is sin, and that kind of is that dark page. And it says in the Bible that sin is as darkness. And that's why this page is dark, is because the sins that we have done causes darkness in our life. In another verse it says death. But a way to explain to kids what sin is anything you think, say, or do that displeases God. Okay? So when I think something bad, when I say something wrong, or when I do something wrong, then that's a sin. And oftentimes they can give you examples. You know, Bobby, can you tell me an example of sin? Oh yeah, when I punch my sister. Yeah, that's an example of sin. Or they'll tell you sins of things that people have done to them. Or when my sister steals my money or punches me and things like that. Okay? The important thing also to tell them is that we are born in sin. When a baby is born, they have sin in them. Okay, that's that sin nature, and we are born with a sin nature or a want to sin. Okay, so when kids are born, we don't have to teach them to not share, to keep everything for themselves and to run over here and hide all the good stuff. We have to teach them to share their toys. We have to teach them to share their food and share their candy because we're born self-focused and all about me. And that's how, just all the way from Adam and Eve, how it started, they gave birth to Cain and Abel, and they had the sin, and it just continued through all the generations, even today. Okay? So to understand, son, do you know you were born with that sin? Or Bobby or Jennifer or things like that. Okay, then we have to talk about that sin needs to be punished. And in Romans 3:23 is one of the first verses, because the first verse you want to share with them is so that they would understand that they have sinned. Okay, and the Bible in Romans 3:23 explains, says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this is where I would say, do you know that verse says all have sinned? Does that mean I have sinned? Yeah. And they'd agree. And does that mean you have sinned? Yeah, I've sinned. Okay. And the importance of that is if I believe, especially as a child, if I'm 5 years old or I'm 6 years old, but I cannot say that I have sinned, I don't need a Savior. Okay, and then that may be God showing you that your son, your daughter, or whoever you're talking to is not ready yet and is not under really the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you could be praying for them that they would really understand and grasp that they have sinned. So if I was talking to a little kid and they don't say, nope, I haven't sinned. I know Bobby has sinned. I haven't sinned. I'm good. Then I just pray for them and just pray that God would really help them to understand just their need for Jesus. But if they say, oh, I know I've sinned, then you can go to Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is our punishment. The punishment for the wrong things that we have done is death. And that death is an eternal separation from God. Okay? And even as believers, here's a side note, even as believers, if we continue to sin, we are producing death, not life. Okay? But for non-believers, the only thing we do is produce death, because that is the way our sin nature works. And God punishes our sin, and it says death, and we're completely separated from God forever. And that means we have to go to a place of loneliness, sadness, pain. Most kids know it's called hell, of eternal separation from God. And since everyone has sinned, everyone deserves to be punished. Okay, that is the problem. But the solution is the red page. The red page is Jesus. So Jesus was God's perfect son. Now, if they are older kids, you're able to explain that God has three parts. He's kind of like, and this is hard to explain, that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's one God, but they have three different things that they are doing. Okay, so God the Father is not God the Son. And God the Son is not God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So there are one God, but three different parts. Okay, three different people. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus, you look in the New Testament, when Jesus was being baptized, then the dove came down and rested on his shoulder, or the dove came, and that was the Holy Spirit, it says, in the representation of the dove. And then the Father spoke from heaven. Right there at that passage, you have a manifestation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Jesus came to earth, and he was born. He was 100% man, and he was 100% God. The difference between Jesus in you and I being man is that he was born of a virgin, and that was from Eve. But also the good part is that he never sinned. Okay? He didn't have that sin nature that we all have. And Jesus was God. He never sinned. He was perfect. And because he was perfect, he didn't have to die. But when he grew up, some cruel men took him. They nailed him to a cross. And when he had nails put in his hands and his feet and hung on that cross, it says his blood came from those hands. His precious blood. Okay? And it says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness of sins. Okay? And so that's when I would say, do you know, son or daughter, or do you know that Jesus had to give his blood so that we could have our sins forgiven? That's why this page is red. And he hung on that cross, and then he was blamed. Have you ever been blamed for something that you didn't do? I know I have. And it doesn't feel good. And Jesus was blamed for all the sins of the world. From Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, all the way up to the first baby born right now. Everyone on earth. All their sins were put and blamed on Jesus, and the eternal punishment of God's wrath was manifested on Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. So if you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. At the second part of 3, it says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Bible, and that he was buried after Jesus buried. This is what I say, is that they took Jesus off of the cross and they put him in a tomb, which was like a cave. And then they rolled this giant rock over the cave to keep everybody from trying to get in. And so that was the way they buried in those days. But then it says, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That means he came back to life. And he is right now in heaven, and he wants you and I to come and live in heaven with him. And because what Jesus did on the cross, we can have our sins forgiven. and that's this clean page. This clean page reminds me of having my sins forgiven and washed as white as snow. And it says, if you grab your Bible, I usually open up to John 3:16. And I say that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever, anyone believes in Jesus, that Jesus came to earth, that he was perfect, that he died, he was God, he died for our sins, for my sins and your sins, and he is the only way that we can get to heaven. By believing in him, it says we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. Okay. And that is the life that I need to have, that God gives me, that I can have my sins forgiven and be with him in heaven someday. So then this is where I would ask, whoever you're telling this to, do you need Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Okay, that asks the ultimate question. Do you realize you have sinned and you need him to forgive you of your sins? If they say yes, then you can ask them, would you like Jesus to forgive you of your sins today? And if they say yes, what I do basically is I go through a review. I ask them, do you remember what God is like and what heaven is like? And can you tell me, does God love you? How much? That will help you to understand, did they grasp the gospel? Then when you come to the sin page, why can sin not be in heaven? Oh, because God's perfect. That's right, that's right. And who has sinned? And that's a way you can tell, do they really understand that they have sinned and that they are separated from God? Now, how can we get to heaven? That'd be the next question I'd ask. Oh, Jesus died for us. And because Jesus died, I can have my sins forgiven. And that's right. Okay, so then, very basically, what I do is I use the ABC method. Okay, A stands for really admit. And I tell him, that means that I am telling God my sin. And I'm saying, God, I know I have sinned, and I know I've done bad things. And I know I am to be separated from you forever because of my sin. And the B is to believe in Jesus. But God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe that he rose again on the third day, and he wants to forgive me of my sin. And C is to choose, and God, I choose to follow Jesus, and I ask that the Holy Spirit would come and live in my life today. Now, the important thing to really understand is Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Without faith, it is impossible to even see God, to see that God is there, to see that God, to see anything in Scripture, we need faith. And that's why God did not give us a prayer to pray in the Bible for salvation. It's not there. Because we are people of habit, and we are people of rituals. So we want the, okay, I need to do A, B, and C. Check. I will do A, B, and C. And God wants it from your heart, and God knows more than anyone if that person really accepted Christ. Very, very important. After they pray, please do not say, now you're a Christian. Because honestly, we do not know. The only one that knows is God. But if they prayed it in their head, but their heart hadn't prayed it yet, the worst thing I could say is you're a Christian, because you may not be a Christian. Your head may have said it, but your heart wasn't in it. And you were just trying to say it so that I would leave. That's happened. So you need to understand that it's very important not to say, now you're a believer, now you have eternal life. But what I usually say is, you know, Jamie, if you really prayed that prayer from your heart, and you really believed in Jesus, then that Bible says that you have everlasting life. in heaven with God forever and ever. Okay, now what I do is I would go to the green page. The green page is a way to share how can I grow spiritually. Okay, green is like grass. Grass needs water, nitrogen, all the things to grow, sunlight. So G-R-O-W is how we do it on our fingers. Grow, go to church and Sunday school. I can listen to the pastor preach. I can go to Sunday school, hear teachers teach about God. And I learn more about God there. And I'm around believers that can help me. If I'm having a bad day, I can go to church and I could say, Dale or Jim or Frank, would you pray for me? I'm having a bad day today. And it's a way the believers come together with the same heart of wanting to follow Jesus. Just very simply, wanting to follow Jesus. The second thing is to GR, read your Bible and pray. When we read our Bible, we're getting God's truth in us. And it's a way that we can live out God's truth. We talk to God through prayer. And it's not anything magical. It's just how I'm talking to you right now. And God talks to us through His Word. One of the first things to understand when I'm coming under spiritual attack, the first thing that will happen, the enemy will want you to close your Bible. And not read your Bible. Okay, so if you're really feeling like you don't want to read your Bible, you're probably under some spiritual attack by the enemy. Because I know God wants you to read the Bible and to study it and to pray through it, memorize it, meditate on it, and things like that. Okay, so that's G-R-O is to obey what the Bible says. When it says, kids, obey your parents, I need to obey what the Bible says. If I don't, I am going to be punished. Because God is a loving Father and He punishes the kids He loves. We all do. If we love our kids and they did something wrong, then we need to punish them to help them grow, mature, and become who we want them to become. The last thing is witness. Witness is just telling people what you've experienced. And that's when I'd encourage the kids that I just talked to. You know, now that you, if you accepted Christ and you have that new life, God wants you to share it with people around you. You know, maybe you could share with your best friend who doesn't know about Jesus. Or you could share it with your mom and dad if they would be excited for you. But God wants you to share it with someone. Things like that. Okay, so that was just kind of an idea of how to share the gospel with your kids, grandkids, nephews, nieces, things like that. Remember, they need to be ready to understand the gospel. You don't want to force it on them. You don't want to push them into it because that will cause them to react. But just be praying for them. Like, Father, I just pray for my son, Johnny, that, Father, you would just work on his heart, that he would be open to hearing your truth. And just be watching and waiting. Because one day, when you least expect it, he'll come up and ask you, hey, Mom, or Dad, or Grandma, or Grandpa, how do I get to heaven? And that, wow, it happens more than you would understand. That happened to me. I accepted Christ when I was 5 years old. I was at church, and I was listening to a message that the pastor gave about hell. I went home, I was scared, I sat on my dad's lap, and I asked him, why did the man talk about hell, and why would people have to go there? It sounds horrible. I was 5 years old. And my dad knew enough about scripture, knew enough about what I kind of shared, that he said, you know, son, God loves you, but have you done bad things? And I said, yeah. And he said, that's what the man said today. That if you've done bad things, you cannot spend time with God in heaven. You have to be separated from him. And then he shared about how Jesus came and died for my sins. And I think at that time I started crying. But then I accepted Christ when I was 5 years old. And I remember it like it happened yesterday. So yes, kids can accept Christ. Kind of like that quote from Charles Spurgeon. And I'll read it one more time. A child of five, if properly instructed, can as truly believe and be regenerated as an adult. So I just pray for you that this video would help encourage you and help train you with the tools that you will need to kind of share Christ to Sunday school kids, to whoever God brings in your path. And the neat thing about it is once you understand and once you grasp the tools and what to say, you can use this all over the world. God allowed me to go to India several times. I take the Wordless book with me. I take other CEF tools. I've gone to Australia several times for overseas missions. I've gone to Haiti and done missions with the church. But I could be sitting on an airplane, I could be sitting on a bus, and I know the truths that I would want to share with the person next to me because of Child Evangelism Fellowship and because of what I've been learning in Scripture. And so that is my encouragement to you, and I just pray that this video would bless you and just encourage you, strengthen you with the tools to really reach people around you for Christ. So let me pray for you. Father, I just pray a blessing upon everyone that watches these videos just on our website and on YouTube and Vimeo. And Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would really touch their hearts, that you would just encourage them, strengthen them. Father, we just pray that the words I say, Father, would really touch their hearts and that it would be from you. Father, we just pray that they would use these and they would be able to see people come to Christ. We know that you say in Scripture, Father, that it's not your will that anyone perish, but that all come to Christ and come to a knowledge of the truth, it says. So, Father, we just pray that you would use this. We pray that you would strengthen the people that are watching this video, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would bless their hearts and touch them to reach for the kids around them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.